Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you.
I really feel like God wants to stir some faith right now for what He wants to do tonight. And God gave me a few people that He wants to call out. So the first group of people, or maybe it's just one or two, is if there's anyone in here that has an autoimmune disease. Can you raise your hand? Awesome. All right, so about four of you. If you're around one of the people who just raised their hands, can you go and put your hands on them? The thing about conditions like this is it's that our what was intended to protect us begins to fight against us. And so I feel like what God wants to do right now is He's bringing that into alignment. So in the name of Jesus, I declare, just if you're praying over them, just declare with me the healing grace of God. We declare the healing grace of God over you. You are healed. That everything is coming to alignment with God's original design for you. Sickness, leave your body right now. In the name of Jesus, we release fullness of health, fullness of vitality and energy being restored, full mobility. In Jesus' mighty name, we just release the breath of God over you. Breath of God, I declare right now in the name of Jesus that there's been a weariness upon you, especially lately, and I just declare supernatural rest and rejuvenation coming upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. If you felt something, one of the four of you guys, can you just raise your hand if you felt God doing something specific in you, or if you feel any changes yet, Teresa? Awesome. Yeah. Oh, so her stomach issues, she felt God touching and just bringing some warmth and healing to it. Awesome. God is moving. He's moving. If you see significant changes too, as you know, the next day or so, or over the next week, please let me know so we can be sharing those stories and testimonies as this goes. The next thing I felt God wanted to highlight is if you have glaucoma. Is there anyone in here that has that? Impaired vision? Or if, I feel like it's connected also to this. If you tend to have, I get these too, but if you have like random vision impairment that leads to like headaches and migraines, would that be you? Sandra? All right. Thank you, Jesus. If you're around Sandra, can you just put your hand on her? God, right now, I thank you that you are restoring full flow blood throughout her body, throughout every nerve and fiber in her brain. I just see that what God is doing as He's healing and removing the pain of migraines right now by God's healing grace. So He's restoring a fullness of creativity that has been robbed. That there's innovation that's going to come through you, Sandra. That the vision is fully restored in the natural, also in the spiritual. I declare the end to migraines in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Do you feel God touching you in that, Sandra? And then I had, I think there was a girl, I don't know if she's in here at the moment. She's wearing a gray sweatshirt. Let's see if I can see her. Well, I'll wait a minute. She might be in the bathroom. the other person is Caitlin. You just moved here today, right? Woohoo! Yeah. What I felt like God wanted to speak to you today, Caitlin, was that get ready for a new normal. That there's going to be things that you had desires for in the past that God's going to unlock and make room for. But any fears, any hesitations, any grief over the change, even when it's good, just know that as you process that with God, that's making room for those new gifts to come forth, that you're going to see just so much prosperity flow through your life in this next season. Doesn't mean there won't be challenges, but there's going to be these things that have felt stuck for forever, ceilings that have been on you that are being broken off. And God's going to give you just, I feel like in the next couple months, like 1 to 2 months, just a sign that's going to, you're going to hold to over the next season, over the next couple of years, as you make this home. That's just Him saying, you're right where I need you. You're right where I need you. And so you can stand confident in that. So, awesome. Thank you, God. Awesome. So, I'm really excited about tonight. I feel very specific assignment on tonight. And worship team, you've been amazing. Thank you so much for just bringing the extra Holy Spirit anointing today. I'll have you come back up in a little bit. but before I have you sit down, I just wanted to honor our amazing pastors who are not here, Pastor Matt and Loren, for their hearts. Let's give them a shout. Yeah. They're amazing. I love their authenticity and just their hearts. And so we celebrate them while they're just soaking up baby time. And I also wanted to honor my amazing husband. Yes, Pastor Alex. you keep me centered and anchored. Thank you. And you also keep me laughing. So that's a very good thing. Yes, so I'm very grateful for you. And you do definitely keep me challenged to grow, so in the best ways and the annoying ways too. But that's a good marriage for you, right? All right, you guys can have a seat. So the message that I have for you guys today really has been something that God's been stirring in me since the beginning of this year, and I do feel like it's definitely a word in season, because this morning I got like a tickle in my throat, and so if I cough a little bit, it's just that, trying to keep me from talking and fully delivering this. But we're not going to stand for that tonight. So none of that in Jesus' name. So what happened that kind of sparked this was a family member of mine who struggled with depression in the past has fallen back into that. And there's been this cascade of just impacting their lives physically, not just emotionally. And it's also been something that's been tested in me a lot more recently, too, because of just this stretching season. Obviously, expansion physically and what comes with that. Alex's work schedule has been a lot crazier. I have 2 small kids. So the culmination of all of that has had me really having to dig into the topic of peace. So the title of my message tonight is called The Missing Peace. Because I think there's 2 real key things I feel like God wants to address tonight. He wants to clear up what kingdom peace actually is, because the world has tried to redefine this for us. And then also give us an opportunity to encounter His peace and know how to grow in it, how to continue to steward it so it's increasing in our lives, okay? And I think with that, we're going to see God bust through the depression, the anxiety, the things that really our culture, like even in that video about youth, just how many people in our world today need to break out of depression, anxiety, fear, doubts, and peace is the solution. So and talking about the difference between kingdom and worldly peace. The world would have us look at peace like a lack of conflict. It's the time when things are still. It's just the lack of chaos. It's the absence of something. It's being calm and serene. Closed eyes is kind of how I picture it, right? It's honestly, if you think about it, a little bit bland, right? We want peace in some ways, like especially when you have kids, you're like, I just want some quiet, right? But that's the world's peace, right? Yes, everyone who has kids, you're with me on this. Worldly peace is also something that's temporary. You know that there's an end to it. It's conditional. It's based off of like certain circumstances, right? So it's not something that's like conveys this idea of strength. We also think of peaceful people as passive people, right? People that can be walked all over. But that's not God's peace. And when I came into the church, and I think as a whole, like, we get fragments of, okay, what does peace really look like? You know, we talk about it a lot, like, when you have a big decision, follow God's peace, which, again, it's like, what is that? Like, is it just a calm feeling in my belly? Like, I don't feel unsettled. So, like, again, the lack of something. Since I don't feel unsettled, that means God's peace is here, so maybe I should go that way, right? But that's not the complete story. There's a fullness, I think, that God wants to impart to us. And some things that he's been showing me that hopefully will bring some breakthrough for you. So this is my definition of it, but what I think kingdom peace is living in unwavering rest and celebration of the victory Jesus has paid for us, even in the face of trials, pain, discouragement, or disappointments. The way that shalom peace is defined is wholeness, steadfastness, prosperity, health, all with the implication of permanence. So they don't waver with circumstances. Peace is all those things that are not, is not conditional upon the circumstance. Therefore, the evidence of kingdom peace is a deep and true confidence that is not set off by emotions or life's storms, but it's anchored in God, and therefore can be everlasting. That's why it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's evidence of his presence in your life. So good. So, who wants more of that? Right? Prosperity, permanently. Health, permanently. That wholeness in our heart, permanently. Right? That's what God intends for us. But I know many of us, we're definitely not there yet. Right? Myself included. I had to process through some of that today with my children. Like I said, God's teaching this to me just as much as I know he wants to teach it to you guys today too. So I want to give you a couple of scriptures to anchor this into. So in John 14, verse 27, it says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world can't give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So the purpose of peace is to restore that division in our soul that's created by living in a broken world. Right? It's that wholeness I was talking about before. So I find it very interesting that peace first has to begin, and it first must impact our mind, which is our thoughts, and our heart, so our will and our emotions, right? And then from there, we're able to actually fully influence and be a light in this world, because we're living in a way that definitely is counterculture, right? And then in Isaiah 54, verse 10, it says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. So kingdom peace, like I said, is eternal and it's constant. It's not something that is based off of our circumstances. It's in the midst of our circumstances. And we lack peace, not because it's God's intention, but because we agree with the lies of the enemy versus standing firm on what he has given us. So God's peace is for us to steward. And like he says, he intends for it, like, to guard our minds and our hearts, but we actually have to give him permission to do that, right? So we'll get to that in a little bit. But the last verse, just an understanding piece I want to address, is John 16, verse 33. And it says, "And everything I've taught you is so that peace which is in me must be in you, and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world you will experience troubles and sorrows." Again, peace in the midst of situations that are challenging. "But you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world." So peace is really the only way that we can actually live at rest and also be in this broken world, right? And it is the thing that actually gives us true confidence. Like it says, the peace in which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. So with no peace, there will be no confidence. Or at least no true confidence. Confidence can be manufactured into things that we then have to sustain in our own strength. It can be a false confidence then. I know I operated that way for a long time, coming from a performance background. I used my accomplishments to be proof and validation for myself that I could be confident. But that only lasts so long. Certain storms will come in and just knock you right out, right? So why is peace actually essential? When we look to Jesus' first sermon, he tells us why. I think I gave you guys two of these, of Matthew 5, verse 9. I want to do the Passion Translation version, which says, "How joyful are you when you make peace, for then you will be recognized as a true child of God." Why do we need to operate in peace? Because it's our identity as his kids. And there's an extra blessing attached to that, because the world needs it, and the Lord knows we need it. Right? So, I'll drink to that. If I can get this in my mouth. Yes. There we go, yep. So, where I feel like God really wants us to camp out is, how can we live as peacemakers? So, in understanding what kingdom peace is, how do we live as the peacemakers? Not the passive, peaceful person that the world would define it as, but the peacemaker that God has made us to be as his kids. Okay? So, this begins with receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have to have the Holy Spirit in us to actually flow in the peace he has for us. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of peace, right? So there's no peace without him. So there's a story in John 20 I feel like illustrates this greatly. So let me give some context for it. So here we have the disciples who have locked themselves up in a room because Jesus just died. What they were expecting to happen, you know, Jesus come in, and if you've read the Gospels much, the disciples expected like some sort of military conquest, and Jesus did not do that. So their expectations were severely disappointed. And they locked themselves up in a room together because they were afraid of also being persecuted like Jesus, because they were his followers. So imagine how they were feeling. I imagine there was a lot of discouragement, a lot of disappointments, doubts creeping in, maybe even some depression, definitely anxiousness, right? And they're in this locked room. And this is Jesus' first encounter with them after he was resurrected, with all of them. It says, so in verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So this is actually the first baptism of the Holy Spirit. There was two. And this one was for each of his disciples personally, as part of their commissioning. So I want you to understand something. The expression of the peace be with you or the peace to you actually was a very common expression in Jewish culture, but Jesus never used it until this moment. So this is the first time he uses that, because I think he wanted to catch their attention, and this was the impartation of peace, right? And the word in this verse, when Jesus breathed upon them, is actually only used one other time in Scripture, and it's in the Old Testament upon the creation of Adam. The breath that God breathed into Adam to have him come alive. So God is coming in this moment to his disciples who are fearful, who are discouraged, who are in anxiousness, to redeem the fullness of life as God designed it, which is what he said before, peace. Peace to you. So I think what God wants to do to us tonight is bring a fresh impartation of the Holy Spirit, that fresh breath, by busting down the doors that we've been hiding behind of fear, anxiety, depression, suicide, whatever that may be that you're struggling with, that has robbed you of the fullness of God's peace, the kingdom peace. And I think it's interesting that in this encounter, what God does, it says in verse 20, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. He showed them his scars. He's been resurrected. You would think he would be in his full form. But God still carried the scars because he was demonstrating to them. The things that you're fearing now, the pains that you have, the scars that you have are not your defeat, but they are a sign of your victory. So when we can see, he was modeling to us that we don't need to hide behind the things that have crushed us, but to see that that's actually the area that's going to bring the most impact in other people's lives as well as our just a flourishing in us. Okay? So, shortly after this too, I find that God addresses one specific thing that is really insidious that the enemy loves to play with, and that's doubt. So he has this encounter with all of his disciples except one, Thomas. Poor guy. Because he's forever known as Doubting Thomas, you know, by us at least. But God comes back and does this, says again, peace to you, a third time, just for Thomas. All of the disciples, even after this moment, they're working their stuff out. They're again hid in a room behind locked doors. Jesus then, again, busts through the doors. So he's graceful. He'll do it multiple times if he needs to. And he comes just for Thomas. And instead of just showing him his scars, he allows Thomas to touch them. Because Thomas needed reassurance. Couldn't just see it. He had to feel it. But God still did it for him. And so just know that as you struggle with this, if it's something it's not always going to happen in one moment, though I feel like God's going to do some great work tonight. God will come again, but he is the God of peace. And then this breath that he breathes into them is to, like I said, to restore their original design of their life, which is that of peacemakers. But we need that peace, because like I said, there's two baptisms of the Holy Spirit. It first comes as breath, and then in Acts you'll see that it comes as fire. But this was for them personally. And if we don't have that peace in us, we can't hold the weight of the power that's going to come upon us for the works that he has for us to do. It allows that to flourish. Okay? So, I really think what God wants to do right now, as we camp on this, and I know a lot of you are processing this message and what I'm sharing about peace, but I think what we need to begin with is just confessing where we are at. So if you're someone who's been struggling with doubts, like Thomas, depression, or anxiety, can you please just stand up? I know it takes a little courage to do it, but in this confession and standing up in front of other people, you're just showing your hunger to receive God's presence in a new way. So I just want you to put your hands up to receive. Thank you, Jesus, right now, that just like you did with your disciples, you are busting through the doors of fear, of the pains of life, of discouragement and disappointment. And right now, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you come and you just breathe afresh on each person standing. You're restoring life. So I want you just to focus on your breath as I pray this next part. Holy Spirit, come, breath of God, fullness of life, flow. That you cast your cares on God. That you quit trying to be better, but just receive. This is God's portion for you. This is God's restoration of any division in your soul to bring about the fullness of his peace. So I'm having you sit in the moment, just feeling the closeness of your breath, because the Holy Spirit's even closer than that. You are not alone. You are not without resource. You have all of heaven backing you up. So I want you to feel the security that comes with that, the true confidence that comes with receiving his peace. So I break any agreements with the lies of the enemy. Lies of doubt, the lies of discouragement, the storms that anxiety brings. We just cancel that right now in Jesus' name. And God, we ask, show us your truth for each and every person. Let them encounter you as the Spirit of truth to show them the way forward. Thank you, Jesus. God's word to each of you is that you are made whole. You not alone. And that your scars are your medals of victory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Just leaning into what Holy Spirit wants to do in this moment. So I think what happens once we allow God to come through those doors is we then have to learn how to steward the peace He's given us. So in Philippians 4, verse 6 through 9, he says this: don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So it takes us being willing to share what's actually on our hearts, even if it's not something we're proud of. God wants our authenticity. Not because He doesn't already know it, but because He is a God of relationship, and relationship requires us to choose to remain connected. True relationship, true love, is a choice. And so God has given us this gift of peace. It's a covenant. He's not taking it away. But are we withholding our hearts because we're scared of being vulnerable and actually being real with where we're at and our imperfections? And this is where, if you have a hard time with this, it's a sign that your heart isn't fully trusting of God. It says in Isaiah 26, verse 3, that He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. He's the one that perfects the peace. All it takes is our willingness to trust. And so I think what the Lord wants to address is if you've been struggling with, like, again, this is bold to do, but I think it's one of those things where we have to get like a healthy intolerance. I think of this kind of like food intolerance. Staying away from things that are actually not good for us personally. We have to grow in a healthy intolerance for thoughts that feed our distrust in God. Because when we can do that, we step into His perfect peace simply by releasing that. So if you feel like that's speaking to you, I'd like you to stand. If you're struggling and know that there's areas of your heart that are not fully trusting, showing them your true nature, that you are a God who can be trusted. And I want you to share with God where you're struggling to trust Him, to bring it before Him, not to hide it away, but to be like, God, this is hard for me. I'm giving this to you. Help me. Show me how to trust you fully. Thank you, Jesus. What do I feel like now? God, just come, bring your peace, that fullness. I declare a fresh impartation of peace upon each and every one of the people who are standing, each and one of every one of us in this room. Gifts of God unlock in you. So you can connect to His heart. It's not for what you can do for other people, but it's for how you experience Him. That you're going to see Him in His true nature. So I thank you for that, Jesus. Word to you is that you can rest in His victory. The distrust creates division in our soul. We feel kind of like we're almost two people. That we have moments of great faith and then moments of great doubt. But God is unifying you so that you are as He designed you. No longer divided in your soul, but fully integrated. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Awesome. Let's give God a clap for that. All right, and this last picture I just wanted to leave you with as an encouragement for the journey forward, because I feel like there's a lot of ground to take in this journey of peace. So I believe it's in Ephesians 6. It talks about the armor of God. And I'm sure if you've read this verse, you know about the part of the armor that's having your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Obviously not a term we use much, to have our feet shod with something. So, if you're like me, you're like, okay, that doesn't really, what's a shod? So, here's what the actual picture is. Think of like your old school, like Roman sandals, right? Like strappy stuff. But at the bottom, you actually have metal studding. Like, these are old school cleats, sandal cleats. Okay? All right? These were intended for battle, so that soldiers could hold their ground. And when you defeat somebody, to actually be able to crush their bones. So the gospel of peace, again, not so wimpy, right? This is a peace that allows us to stand our ground and to crush anything that the enemy brings at us, so we can take our ground and go forward. Right? So God has given us this peace. We are peacemakers, not your peaceful people, but the peacemakers that change an atmosphere. So I feel like God wants to commission all of us. So if you could just stand up, and we're just going to pray into this. God, I thank you that you have shod our feet to take ground, to hold what ground you have given us, and to continue to advance, to crush anything that the enemy would bring at us. That we are bold and confident in you, and we can go forward and advance. Because you are with us, you have imparted that spirit of peace to us. So let us be courageous. Let us stand firm, no matter what we're facing, no matter the storms. But you are bringing us into new territory and new confidence in this season and in this time. In Jesus' mighty name.
Wow, what an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen, for more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.